Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Tomorrow, of course, is New Year's Day, the start of a new year. I was coming home yesterday from Shara's dad's place in Texas, and I was listening to the radio, and you know, they were, one guy was on the radio, and I don't remember what it was, but he said, I'm so excited. He said, I always get so excited at this time of the year. He said, we're starting a brand new year. Everything is new. Everything is fresh. And there was a co-host, I guess, with the program. He said, it's just another day. Doesn't make me any difference. Everything's the same. So I don't know how you feel about the new year, but I think most people look forward to it. Most people think that January the 1st somehow is different from every other first of every other month because it's the start of a new year. It is exciting, and it can be a little bit frightening in some cases. We don't know. None of us have ever lived in 2018, so we don't know what 2018 holds for ourselves or for anybody else. People, of course, make predictions every year, and sometimes they come true, sometimes they don't, because really nobody does know what the future holds. And I was thinking about that this week, and I'm almost always drawn to this passage of Scripture when I think about new beginnings. This is a time in the history of the nation of Israel when they were starting something new. I want to read Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to read the first 14 verses, but leave your Bible open because we will refer to verse 15 later. But do not read that verse, okay? I want it to be a surprise. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will save the children of Israel. They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea between Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, behold, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians, which ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The first thing I want us to know is that, at least for the nation of Israel, this was a new beginning. God had delivered them from a bondage in Egypt, and they were starting a new life of freedom. It had been just over 400 years, about 430 years, that the Israelites had gone into the land of Egypt when Joseph was the second in command over the land of Egypt. And so the people had lived in Egypt for over 400 years. This group of Israelites, this generation, or these two or three generations of Israelites, had never known freedom. They were born into slavery. They had lived in slavery. And God had just recently delivered them from slavery, so freedom was a new experience for them. They'd never left the land of Egypt because they were slaves. They weren't free to go anywhere. They stayed, they worked, they did what they were told to do. So they were in a new place, experiencing new things, a new feeling of freedom. And I think they were probably excited, like most people are, with the beginning of a new year. I think they were probably also a little bit nervous. The future was unknown. There was nobody to tell them what to do. They had to figure it out for themselves. And so they were probably a little bit excited and a little bit nervous both for this new beginning. I want to notice a couple of things about it, though. First of all, God brought them not only to freedom, but to this specific place. I want to look back at verse 2 because it's got all those hard names to pronounce, and I want to read it again. "Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea." Now, there's some differences of opinion about where they were, Pihahiroth and Migdol and Baal Zephon, where these places were or what they were. Some people feel like that Migdol means tower, and so they thought that it was some sort of a tower guarding the bay where they had arrived to. Some people think that Baal Zephon is a reference to the god Baal, and that there must have been some sort of a fortress or a temple there to Baal, and that it was highly guarded. And the point being that both of this tower was a guard tower, and the temple would be guarded by soldiers or whatever. I don't know if that's right because of what verse 3 says. God said that Pharaoh would say that the wilderness hath shut them in. There are others then that believe that these places, the tower, Migdol and Baal Zephon and Pihahiroth, were simply were some sort of a natural structures, the terrain of the land that enclosed the Israelites. The point is, they were surrounded by something, either man-made or natural, with the Red Sea in front of them, and they had come into this place sort of like you would come into a funnel, I guess, so that there was only one way out, and that was back the way they came. But God had led them to this place. They'd never been there before. This wasn't Egypt. They'd never been there. But God had been there, God was there, and God brought them there. The second thing I want you to notice is that they had come to this place by faith. The last four words of verse 4 says, "And they did so." And what that's referring to is God told Moses to tell the Israelites to go to this place, and they did so. They went there, they followed God, they were led by God, and they went there by faith. Now, I've already mentioned this, we have never been in 2018 before because 2018 has never existed before. So we've never been there. We have no idea what it holds, what the future holds, whether it'll be good or bad or a mixture of both. We don't know. But God has been there. As a matter of fact, God is there in a way that we can't understand. He is present in the future just like He's present in the present and is also present in the past. So it's a new place to us, but it's not a new place to God. There's nothing that will happen in 2018 that will surprise God. He already knows. He's already made provision for us to see us safely through, to bless us, to guide us, to direct us, whatever it is that we need. God already has it in supply for 2018. The second thing I want us to notice is that, listen, we are at this moment and we'll be at the next moment Christian by faith in God. Right? We followed Him to this moment. He brought us to this moment and we followed by faith. So we're in the exact same circumstance that the Israelites were in all those years ago. That brings us to a familiar foe. I want you to look at verse 9. "But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon." Pharaoh and his army pursued after the Israelites, and they overtook the Israelites. Now, they came to this place the same way that the Israelites came to this place. They came to the same funnel, the same way. So now, the Israelites, their way out is blocked by the Egyptian army. Their enemy just wouldn't leave them alone. Pharaoh had another change of heart. So he pursued them. His intentions were not good. Pharaoh didn't pursue the Israelites to congratulate them on their freedom, to pat them on the back, and to wish them well. He pursued the Israelites to bring them back to Egypt and subject them to bondage and slavery once again. I'm assuming that his attitude was that if they won't come back, we'll kill them. And if we kill enough of them, the rest of them will come back and we can enslave them and they can serve us like they did before. So his intentions were not good. It was at that moment that the Israelites experienced a failure of faith. They had come to this point by faith. Now, I'm going to grant you that their faith was probably fairly new and probably fairly weak. But they had come to this moment by faith, but when they saw Pharaoh, when they saw the chariots, when they saw the horsemen, when they saw the army, when they looked around them and realized that there was no way out, fear overcame their faith and fear caused their faith to fail. They saw the enemy, they saw the problem, and they didn't see God anymore, and their faith failed. They began to complain. The Bible says that they cried out to Moses. That means they complained. And they said, we told you so. Why didn't you just leave us alone? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? I would like for you to think about that for just a moment. I wish they had thought about that for just a moment. In Egypt, they were slaves. In Egypt, they were in bondage. In Egypt, they had no freedom. In Egypt, they were not happy. They longed to be delivered. Do you remember how this all started? God said, I've heard the cry of my people. They longed to be delivered. They wanted to be free, and God heard their cries. He felt their longings, and so he delivered them. And now they're saying, boy, I wish you'd have just left us there. Don't we do that sometimes as Christians? We get saved, and we experience the joy of salvation and the beauty of forgiveness. And boy, it's not very long until the enemy pursues us. Satan is our enemy. And he pursues. And when he pursues and the problems come along, we get to looking at the problems and we forget about God. And we think, oh, I just wish I'd have just stayed where I was. That's what the Israelites told Moses. Why didn't you just leave us alone? Well, I don't mean to be the bearer of troubling news or bad news right here at the end of the year and the beginning of the new year, but there's going to be some problems in 2018. There were problems in 2017. There were problems in 2016 and 15 and 14 and on all the way back. You start the first year of your life. There were problems from that moment until this moment, and there will be problems from this moment until the end of your life or the end of the world. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Christian, your enemy is Satan, and he is pursuing you, and he will keep pursuing you, and he won't stop just because it's a new year. And he will try to cause you problems. He'll bring temptation into your life. He'll try to make you think that Egypt was better than where you are now. He'll try to make you think that enslavement to sin, which is where we were before we got saved, he'll try to make you think that was better than freedom in Christ. And when the problems come and we begin to focus on the problems and we begin to get afraid of the enemy and we lose sight of God and our faith fails. You remember Peter, the story of Peter walking on the water. This is the classic example. Peter's in a boat, there's a storm brewing, and Jesus comes walking on the water toward the boat, and Peter sees Jesus, and he looks at Jesus and he cries out to Jesus and he says, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, come. And in the midst of a storm, Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. And then the Bible says he saw the waves. You know what that means? You can't look at two things at the same time. That means he was looking at Jesus and he turned and he saw the waves. He saw the storm. And when he saw the storm and the waves, the Bible says he began to sink. Faith failed. Now listen, that story is not in the Bible just to take up space. That story is in the Bible to tell us there will be storms in life. They are coming. And when they come, we need to look to Jesus. And as long as we look to Jesus, we can walk on the water. But when we take our eyes off, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we will begin to sink. That's what happened to the Israelites. Now that brings us to a call of faith. I want to read verses 13 and 14 of this chapter. This is a call of faith. This is Moses' call to the faith to the people of Israel. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That is one of the greatest passages in all of Scripture. If you don't have that memorized, you ought to memorize. That might be our memory verse for Wednesday night in January. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I want to look at this call to faith because there's a lot in this call to faith. First of all, he said, fear ye not. Quit worrying. I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. I don't know if I like to make confessions or not, but it feels good after it's done. I got to the church this morning and man, it's cold outside. And I opened the doors and the church felt warm because we'd turned the heaters on yesterday and it was a little bit warmer. And I started to go through my routine. You know, I have this routine that I go through every Sunday morning. And I thought, you know, probably won't be very many people here today. It's cold outside. It's a holiday. It's New Year's Eve and it's bitter cold. And I just begin to think about all these things. Listen, and then I thought, but there's not a thing in the world I can do about it. I can't change the weather. God can. He chose to make it cold. But I can't change it. I can't make anybody come to church. I wish I could. If I could, I'd make everybody in Blackwell come to church. But I can't. So why worry about it? Moses looked out. Listen, he looked out at the people of Israel. He said, look to your right and look to your left. Can you change that? Well, no, they couldn't. Look out ahead of you. You see the Red Sea? Can you change the Red Sea? No, they couldn't do that. Look behind you. Can you defeat Pharaoh? No, they couldn't defeat Pharaoh. So I said, quit worrying about it. There's nothing you fear not. That's our call to faith. Quit worrying. Then he said, stand still. Because they had told him, we want to go back. He said, you just stay put. You stay right where you are. This is not the time to go back. This is not the time to sit down. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to look to Jesus. So he said, fear not, stand still. And then he said, my favorite one, hold your peace. Quit complaining. We are a complaining people. Have you noticed that? We are so spoiled. We have everything we need. We have everything we need. Every person here this morning, you have everything you need. You may not have everything you want, but you've got clothes on your back. You probably got food in your belly if you had breakfast. If you don't, you've got lunch waiting. You got a place to live, and your place is probably warmer than it is outside. You got a car to drive to get you here, or you got somebody to bring you and take you home. We have everything that we need, and boy, do we complain about all the things that we don't have. You know, I don't have this, or I don't, or it's, man, it's cold outside. Boy, I wish it'd warm up. Wait about 6 months and we'll be saying, man, I wish it'd cool off. Right? When it's raining, we wish it was dry. When it's dry, we wish it was raining. When it's cold, we wish it was hot. When it's hot, we wish it was cold. And we don't just wish it, we tell God about it. When we're happy, we're worried about being sad. When we're sad, we're mad because we're sad and worried about being happy. We're never satisfied. We're always complaining. And Moses said, hold your peace. Did you know that sometimes in the midst of our complaining and griping and carrying on, we can't hear God? We're making too much noise. We can't see God. We're looking at all the things that we don't have. Now, listen, I can look out on our congregation this morning and I can see some folks that are, you know, got some difficult situations in their lives. Things aren't going great for everybody here this morning. But complaining doesn't do a thing in the world to make anything better for anybody, including yourself. The people of Israel cried out to Moses, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? You just brought us out here to die. Well, there's water in front of us and the enemy behind us and my feet are tired and my legs ache and it's hot and it's dusty. And Moses said, hold your peace. Maybe that ought to be our motto for 2018. Hold your peace. And then he said, see the salvation of the Lord. Because the enemy that you see right now, you will never see again for the rest of your life. Because God will fight for you and God will defeat your enemy. Trust God. That's the call to faith. That's the call to faith. Fear not. Don't quit. Quit complaining. And trust God. Amen. I want you to listen to some words of Scripture. Please don't try to look these up because I'm going to go fast. I think they'll be on the screen if Rocky can keep up, but here we go. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Are you getting the picture? The Christian life is lived by faith. We don't see Jesus, but we believe He's there. We don't see deliverance, but we believe it's coming. We don't see healing, but we know it's on its way. We don't see the blessings always until they get here, but we believe they're coming. The just Christians shall live by faith. Now, if you want to die, that's up to you. But if you want to live for the Lord, you're going to have to do it by faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, for by faith ye stand. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you want to be defeated, be faithless. If you want to be defeated, be fearful. If you want to be victorious, live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, meaning God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Would you just listen to that little phrase? For he that cometh to God must believe that God exists. How can you come to Him if you don't believe He's there? And he must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right, I want to mention one more thing. James 2, verse 17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. True faith will produce works. Works won't save you. That's not how we get saved. That's not how we stay saved. But true faith will produce works. I'm going to go back to the children of Israel, back to where they were trapped by the man-made barriers or by the natural barriers and by the Red Sea and by the Egyptian army. They were trapped. And God gave them a call to faith. Now look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you complaining to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Amen. Ahead of them was the Red Sea. They couldn't cross it. Oh, some of them could swim. Not all of them could, but some of them could swim. But in the time it would take them to swim, if they didn't drown, if they could make it, the Egyptian army would still pursue them and still overtake them and still enslave them or kill them. So there was no escape ahead of them. And here's God saying, go forward. And so the children of Israel somehow found their faith again. They'd lost it. They got afraid. They looked at the enemy and they looked at their problems and their faith failed. But they found it and they went forward. And the Bible says that God parted the waters of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel walked over on dry ground, not muddy, mucky ground, not a river bottom, not a sea bottom, dry ground. Because they went forward by faith. Then the Bible says the Egyptian army saw it and they thought, well, we can do that too. So they stepped out into the dry ground. It was still dry. They stepped out on the dry ground. They got the whole army. God let the whole army of the Egyptians get in the midst of the Red Sea, and then the walls came crashing in, and the Bible says that every single one of them died. Because God said, you'll never see your enemy again. They went forward by faith, God parted the waters, and delivered them. Christian, that's my encouragement, that's my message to us this morning. Go forward in faith. If you're not a Christian, you express your faith in Jesus Christ by confessing of your sins and accepting Him as your Savior, believing that He is, believing that He's a rewarder of those who come to Him, and then you begin to obey Him. If you're already a Christian, just keep doing it. Keep believing in God. Keep believing in Jesus. Keep following Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep obeying Jesus. There's work to do. There's songs to be sung, there's prayers to be prayed, there's classes to be taught, there's ministry to people to do. They're all around us. There's folks dying and going to hell. They're all at home this morning. They're in their beds or they're recovering from the night before. They're getting ready to get drunk tonight or whatever it's going to be. They're all around us. There are people lost. They're going to hell. We need to tell them about Jesus. We need to go forward in faith. I know sometimes it's frightening. I know sometimes we look around and think, well, you know, I don't have this and I don't have that and I feel trapped and there's no way out. And behind me is Satan nipping at my heels and ahead of me is an impossible situation. I just don't know what to do. And God looked at the children of Israel and He said, well, listen, quit complaining and go. Go forward. Let's do that, shall we? With faith in Jesus Christ, with our eyes on Jesus Christ, no matter the obstacle around or behind or before us, let's go forward. And let's win people to Jesus. And let's grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's be better New Year's Eve of 2018 than we are New Year's Eve of 2017. Would you stand with me this morning? Sure, if you would please just come to the piano and play a song of invitation. Bow your heads and close your eyes with us and be as quiet as you can for just a moment. We're just nearly done. If you have a need this morning, the altars are always open. I invite you to come. And I invite you, Christian, while Shara plays this morning, especially, please let's examine our lives. And let's forget about all the stuff. And let's not worry about all the problems. And let's see the salvation of the Lord. And let's go forward in faith, trusting God.